And now, filling in for Rush Limbaugh, ladies and gentlemen, Mark Stein.
Yes, America's Anchorman is away, and this is your EIB Anchor Baby coming to you live from Ice Station EIB in the great empty vastness of the Great North Woods, hard by the Quebec border. If you're fleeing the country and you're coming to Canada, many people are fleeing the United States of America for the new woke caliphate of Chazistan. But if you're old-fashioned enough to flee the country for Canada, do swing by and say hello. You can't miss us. We've actually got a big statue right on the highway of the last Rush guest host before the border. It's a huge statue of the last... Oh, wait a minute. Apparently the statue of the last Rush guest host before the border has been toppled. So it's just an empty plinth like everywhere else in this country. Mike and Ali are looking after things in New York City. So if you call in on 1-800-282-2882, because it's open line Friday, you get to talk to Ali. And she's generally far more sociable and charming than Mr. Snerdley would be when he picks up the telephone. He's monitoring things from down south in Florida. And so we've accounted, I think, for all the team except one. And if you're wondering where he is, here's Rush to explain it.
Hey, folks, just a quick message to let you know that I am fine. Everything's okay. Things are going well. It's just that these treatments are really taking a toll on my energy level. I think the word I used last time to describe it was gassed, and that's exactly how I feel. It's a debilitating fatigue, and I really would feel not very professional trying to do the program feeling this way today. It would not certainly be meeting or even surpassing your expectations. But I miss it, and I can't wait for Monday. I will be back Monday after a couple more days to recuperate and get the energy level back. So hope you have a great weekend, and just know that I am missing you more than you know, and I'll see you on Monday.
And he means that. You know Rush means that, and he loves being here, and it's the special connection between Rush and every member of Rush's audience that has kept this show on top for a third of a century now. And when he is here, and he is on, he is on. He is at full strength, and he does an absolutely killer show. And that's what's going to happen when he comes back here this week. I got the call a couple of hours before the show began that Rush had woken up not feeling too good and could I come in and do it. And I love doing it. I will. I'm a little... we try to maintain at Ice Station EIB some basic standards of decorum. So normally I would put on a shirt and tie to do the show. I'm actually here, because I got the call at such a last minute, I'm actually here in shorts and a Rush Limbaugh t-shirt that I was just wearing anyway, because it's a rather fetching shade of, I think they call it eggshell blue, and it was the 30th anniversary t-shirt, and the colour rather suits me, so I was wandering around it in anyway, but I don't normally just do the show in a t-shirt. It's always a privilege to be here, and it's always an honour to be here. I will say that I understand that there's a little too many of these guest hosting stints these days. I understand that. There's a little too many for me. I used to love it when I'd come down from the hills, you know, once every 2 or 3 months and do the show, because it was usually because Rush was off and he'd be golfing with the president, or he'd be flying into Hollywood to lay down his voice track for some amusing cartoon show or whatever it was. And so you had a kind of reflected glamour from whatever Rush was doing that day, made the audience feel good. And the guest host, as I said, got a bit of kind of reflected, deflected glamour from the glamour of what Rush was doing, playing golf with the president that day. And it's a little different now, and it's a little tougher when you have a week of guest hosting and you do as much guest hosting in a week as you would previously have done in a year. But we're in this for Rush, and we're doing this in order that when Rush has rested up, he comes back and he's at full strength. And I'm happy to do that for as long as Rush wants me to do that, because I've had nothing but the most harmonious relations with Rush and Rush's team since this began. He's the most secure person. He knows he's number one. He knows he's the best at what he does. And one of the great things that comes with that is that he's completely secure about himself, and he doesn't care about any old rinky-dink guest host or whatever. And he's very different, actually, from a lot of people who get not quite to the top, but they get almost to the top, and they're terribly insecure and about this or that and something, you know, the guest host and all that kind of. And Rush is totally secure because he is a phenomenon. This format, there's talk radio not just between noon and 3 Eastern, but between 3 and 6 and 9 and 12 and 6 and 24 hours a day. And that's because of Rush. Rush created a whole format that sustains hundreds of radio stations across this country. That's the creative efforts of one brilliant man, a man like no other in this business, a man who has been at the top of his game and has been the number one show for a third of the history. You know, basically, radio got going almost exactly 100 years ago. I think I mentioned somewhere or other that 100 years ago, Dame Nellie Melba, the great Australian soprano, did a live broadcast from the Marconi buildings in southern England, and it was heard as far away as Berlin and Stockholm. And she was basically the first celebrity to go on the radio and do a radio broadcast. So we're kind of celebrating the centenary of radio. And incredibly, Rush has had the number one show for a third of the history of the entire medium. There's really nothing like that. It's been a weird year, not just because Rush has been on again, off again and all that, but because, you know, we started the year thinking this was basically Trump had it in the bag. The Democrats couldn't even count up the votes in Iowa to tell us who won the Iowa caucus. As far as I'm aware, there is still no official winner of the Iowa caucus. They weren't able to do it. They were completely incompetent. They thought they could hang all the impeachment. Remember impeachment? What was that? January, February? That went nowhere. And then after the impeachment, we had the COVID-19 and we had the lockdown, the unprecedented, basically every major economy in the world except China. And if you regard Sweden as a semi-functioning economy, apart from China and Sweden, basically every developed economy decided to tank itself over COVID-19 for 3 months. And then just as people are restless from the COVID-19, George Floyd gets killed on the streets of Minneapolis. And we have this chain of events now that the death of George Floyd has led to the cancellation of Meghan Markle's Best Friends TV show in Canada. It's led to the cancellation of John Cleese from Monty Python, of his great sitcom Fawlty Towers in the United Kingdom. It's rippled around the world. There's still 5 months to go to the election in November. So what is next? Okay, here's what's next. The Environmental Protection Agency has given permission for a British biotech company to release genetically modified mosquitoes in Florida and Texas. And they're going to be releasing these in the next few weeks. Genetically modified mosquitoes. How do you think? I mean, come on. How do you think that's really going to work out for us? For it's be well, there are the killer. That's true, Mike. Mike points out that there are the killer hornets. So this is going to be like the Sharks and Jets. This is going to be the insect version of West Side Story, where the killer hornets and the genetically modified mosquitoes are going to be battling for control of Florida and Texas. But this actually, we are now in Planet of the Mosquitoes. They're going to be genetically modified mosquitoes flying around this wasteland of empty plinths, of looted 24-hour pharmacies and convenience stores, interrupted by the occasional village green with an empty plinth on it where the Confederate general used to stand, and flying low over the empty plinths of the wasteland will be genetically modified mosquitoes. It is Open Line Friday. Oh, By the way, I should thank... I mentioned that I was wearing my beautiful Rush Limbaugh 30th anniversary T-shirt in this beautiful shade of blue. I think they call it Colonial Williamsburg blue. Can you still say that? Or is that some old racist slave trade thing that you can't say anymore? But it's a beautiful shade of blue. Really brings out the beauty of my complexion. And in fact, it was Mrs. Rush, it was Catherine who sent me this T-shirt. So if it weren't for Catherine, I would be sitting behind the golden EIB microphone stark naked today. There's a reason they turn off the Ditto cam. It is Open Line Friday, and I'm happy to hear from you on any subject you want to talk about. But in the meantime, you know, particularly with what's going on around the world today, that securing your home properly has never been more important. And there's a lot more to it than just putting the old lock on the front door. Rush has the answer, and it's not an expensive, complicated solution either.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, technology can take something very complicated and make it very easy. Kind of like what we do here. We make the complex understandable. And technology can do the same thing. Home security is a really great example. Home security has often been thought of as you get these big companies out there, and they're good, and their systems work, and you call them up, and they send somebody out to do a site survey, and they go all through your property in your house, and they make recommendations about what you need to do. They tell you where to put sensors, of course, doors and windows and stuff. They come up with other ideas, and then they give it a cost estimate, and then they tell you about the monitoring and all that, and that's 2 years.